Gabel schmiedern.
Good morning, Rabbi Isai. Our limud this morning, as always, is the Sfus Refuah Shleima of Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Hishtav Refuah Shleima, B'Soch Shachol Yisrael, B'Kor Roiv. So we learned yesterday that if you are not innocent of the matter that you are criticizing and the matter that you're speaking about L'Toyeles, you're going to the Rav and telling him about something that someone else is doing wrong when you yourself are guilty of the same Aveira. And Luitzi, he would hear from you, and he would hear what you were saying. He would say, how dare you go to the Rav and tell the Rav that I'm doing this particular Avla when you are as guilty as I am of doing the same thing, and maybe even more guilty. As the Gemara says, Vayhibi me shafoit hashoftim. The people were judging their judges. They were saying, who are you to rebuke us? Who are you to tell us off when you are as bad or even worse than we are? So therefore the Chofetz Chaim says that it is kimat impossible, just understanding human psychology, that the person who is going to the Rav and speaking to him, saying that, you know, we really have to do something about the other guy, and he himself is guilty of the same thing, says the Chofetz Chaim, it's kimat impossible in human psyche that his intentions are 100% pure. His machshava cannot be in gunsan l'shem shemaim. It makes him feel better that somebody else is doing the same avla that he's doing. It makes him feel better to put down the other guy when he himself is guilty of that thing himself. Within his machshavas somewhere, there is an impure intention. Says the Chofetz Chaim, therefore, such a person is disqualified from speaking Lo Toyeles because he fails on one of the rules of Toyeles, which is that your kavona must be 100% pure, purely for the intention of putting right the wrong, and no personal negia whatsoever in it. Where do we learn it out from? The Chofetz Chaim says we learn it out from an episode in Tanakh, where it's in Melochim, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu we learned it, those of you who are learning Daf HaYomi, we learned it quite recently, when the Gemara was speaking about damaging a wall or a foundation with either water or urine. Yeah, and the Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu swore, that he would wipe out the house of Achav. He would wipe out the family of Achav, Ahab, who was a king of Yisrael, where in the time of the first Beis HaMikdosh, when Eretz Yisrael was divided into two kingdoms, and he was the king of the northern kingdom together with his wife Yizevel, and they were Rishoim, he and his wife, they were Ovdei Avodah Zorah, they encouraged it all over, they prevented people from going to Yerushalayim, v'chole v'chole. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did say that he would wipe out, and he described the males of the house of Achav as a mashtin bekir. The Gemara uses that lotion. A mashtin bekir, someone who urinates against the wall, is a simon of a male, a male rather than a female. So it speaks there, the Gemara learns out from that there is such a concept, mashtin bekir. But I'll call upon him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that he would wipe out the family of the house of Achav. Later on, the person who did it was a subsequent king. Yeah, it wasn't done in the lifetime of Achav himself, but a subsequent king called Yehu destroyed the remnants, whoever was left. I'm not sure whether he was the next king. I think he was maybe two down the line. But in any event, he destroyed the remnants, the last descendants of Achav, he killed. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I will hold Yehu accountable for the murder of the family of Achav. Well, the question is, he would say, but surely I was only doing God's work. I was the shliach of the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to destroy the house of Achav, and I was the one who did it. And therefore, I'm only acting on behalf of the Ribbono Shel Olam. I was doing he'll say, l'shem shemayim, in order to fulfill the promise of the Ribbono Shel Olam. Afal pi kein, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, Yehu, you're not the person to do it, because you yourself are an idolater. You yourself are a bad king, Arosha. And if you are a bad person yourself, you're not qualified to start correcting the wrongs of the other bad person. Chofetz Chaim says, from here you see that somebody who is himself guilty of a particular Aveira is not fit to rebuke or to speak L'Toyeles.
Unless he says to the guy, you and I are guilty of the same thing, you don't talk in shul.
Yeah, he might. Yeah, we're speaking. When he's speaking in the Tehillah, he fails on this point, right? When he fails on this point, which is number three, that his kavana must be pure, he's already tried to speak to the person. He can't go to the Rav until he's spoken to him personally. So they've already had this discussion. But the person doesn't repent, the person doesn't retract, and he's not prepared to put the things right. Therefore, the same thing applies, for instance, whilst we're waiting, the same thing applies to a person who brings his wife, a husband, who brings his wife to the Beis HaMikdosh as a soito. She is suspected of having had an affair. That he has to be pure of that as well. If he's had an extramarital affair, yeah, then he's not qualified to bring his wife to the Beis HaMikdosh. It's the same principle.
Why is he not allowed to? He's a man.
What?
You mean with a married woman?
With a married woman. Yeah, so therefore, right? And that he's not allowed. So I'll call upon him, yeah? So we see there, and there are many... Sorry, there are many other examples of situations like that. Says the Chofetz Chaim, if your intentions are pure, then you can speak L'Toyeles. If your intentions are not pure, you cannot speak L'Toyeles. And if you're putting down somebody else, and you're as guilty of the thing that he's doing wrong as he is, then it is impossible, in practical terms, that you should be in Kavona L'Toyeles 100%. Yeah. Okay, our speaker this morning is Rabbi Ilan Halberstadt, Shlita, the Rav of this shul. We want to express our grateful thanks. This shul could not have been nicer, kinder, more helpful to us whilst we were here as refugees from the building works at Ohel Moshe. You've been really, really... It's been a massive dilemma as to whether or not to go back or not.
I hope we'll stay.
Shkoyach really to you, to the Rav, to the Gavoyim, and to everybody associated with the Beit HaMikdosh.
Shkoyach. Thank you.
It's Northwest London. Thursday, Yud Beis Tammuz, 18th of July, Rav Rav Ilan Halberstadt Shlita, Parshas Pollock, One Eye or Two. This week's Torah has been sponsored by Family Cantor, the Chavetz Sumchan Hashem of Shlomo Hechshner, Yor and Sarah Cantor, Shetekia. Hassel took place on Monday. He wrote in Shem Advice, Nemon, Bishol, Hashem, Lissilo, Lizchus, Hashvoim, Vachayolim, Vamilchamon, Shachzul, Vatayim, Lishalom, Vimheiro.
Amen. I'm okay, shkach. Yes, I'd also like to say thank you. It's been wonderful having the Olam here over the several months that we've been honored to have the Torah here. And Mr. Shem, we should go vayitim v'chayil al-chayil. The main thing is that there should be Torah in the world. And that's b'chol makom shehu, wherever it is, that's the ikkah, that there should be Torah. So let's have a look at a little bit from this week's parasha, which starts with the very word that I want to speak about. Vayar bolok ben tzipor. Vayar. And in this week's parasha, we'll find a lot of re'iyah, a lot of seeing, and I would like to be ma'ayin, pun intended, in this concept here that there's a lot of seeing. So let's point out where the seeing comes up. Of course, it starts by Yar Bolok ben Tzipor. This is Bolok, he sees everything that's happened, and he's worried. And of course, he hires Bilam. And Bilam... Interesting that the expression used is Hine am yotzam in Mitzrayim. There's a people that have left Mitzrayim. Hine chiso es ein ha'aretz. They cover the eye of the earth. Interesting expression. It's not a usual expression that we come across. What is the eye of the earth? They cover the eye of the earth. V'hu yoshev mimuli, and therefore we've got a problem with them. He hires Bilam because of the way that they. They appear, the Einot Oretz, and the Kisos Einot Oretz. And of course, Bilam, as he goes through and tries to curse the Jewish people, he keeps trying to find another place to look at the Jewish people, right? It's very important that he finds the right angle, the right place. He can look at them and then be able to give his klala. That's what he wants to do. But it has to start with the eye. And in fact, he sees the Jewish people, that they... that they see that people's entrances aren't facing each other. What's the maila of the Jewish people? That they don't have doors facing each other. What's that all about? And we learn a little bit of Daf Yomi Bar Basra. You shouldn't see into other people's properties. None of your business. There's an ayin hara problem. We don't want other people to look into other people's things. We have a privacy. We have doors on opposite each other. The eyes of Klal Yisrael are in the right way. But it's fascinating that, so Bilam has to see, and he's looking with his eye, and of course, well, this comes from the Mishnah. The Mishnah that tells us in Ovis Perikei, Mishnah Chof Beis. And the Mishnah tells us an interesting battle, if you want to call it, between two opposites. If you have these things, These three, whom in Talmud of Avraham Avinu. You want to be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu? It's what you have to have. Shloish Dvarim Acherim, we're about to say. Three others, whom in Talmud of Bilam Arasha. So it's Bilam versus Avraham. Okay. What does it mean to be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu? The first thing is Ayin Toivo. Ayin Toivo. That's to be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu. V'ruach Nemucha V'nefesh Shavala. That's Talmud of Avraham Avinu. Ayin Ra. V'ruach Gevoya V'nefesh Rechava. That's Talmud of Shabbilam Arasha. So first it's interesting that you pitch the opposites. They're not in the same generation, clearly. You have a Bilam and you have an Avraham Avinu. They live many years apart. And yet, they're two opposites. One is the Talmud of Avraham with Ayin Toiva, and the other one is the Talmud of Bilam with Ayin Ra. So why are they opposites? Interesting, by the way, the Mishnah itself says, Ma bein Talmud of Avraham Avinu, Talmud of Bilam Rasha. Like, Ke'ilu, you need to be told, what's the difference between a Tzaddik and a Rasha? And the Mishnah tells us, yeah, Talmud of Avraham Avinu, Oichlem Ba'ilim Hazeh, V'noichlem Ba'ilim Abba. They can get Ba'ilim Abba. That's an Avraham Avinu Dika Talmud. Living in this world, and you're going to inherit the next world. L'hamnicha ova yesh, but it's the same amali. Aval tamid v'shal bilam rosho, yoshim gehenem v'yodim l'vershachas, shnem v'atem t'ridim l'vershachas, an shedim v'mim olechzim v'im v'ani eftach boch. Which is a very interesting Mishnah, that we need to explain the difference between the results of a Talmud of Avraham and a Talmud of Bilam. Okay. Yes, Kai, thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. That's exactly what I need. I don't like to normally blow my own trumpet, but yeah, I have to do it. Now, so we have then we have other fascinating things that take place in this parasha, is the story with the donkey, right? The donkey itself, and he also sees better than Bilam. If you worry about who's got the better eyesight, it's the donkey. Because what does the donkey see? He sees the malach in the way. And the donkey has got better vision than Bilam. And of course, he tells him off. So the donkey sees what Bilam does. What have you done that you've struck me, hit me three times? And everybody knows, what does Rashi tell us on, you've hit me three times, Shalosh Regalim, what does Rashi tell us, famously? About Shalosh Regalim. In other words, this word Shalosh Regalim reminds us that you're not going to beat the Jewish people who keep the Shalosh Regalim. Let's see what Rashi says, just to quote it inside properly. Zeh Shalosh Regalim, Romzalei Ata Mavakeh La'akar Umach Regege Shalosh Regalim V'Shomah. You want to uproot the people that celebrate Shalosh Regalim, you're not going to manage. Now, of all the things to bring up, Shalosh Regalim, interesting thing, nice remez, we get it, but it's obviously very fundamental here that the Shalosh Regalim play a key part. Not only that, but suddenly things from the parasha, when you start thinking about Shalosh Regalim, so we're going to see Dvarim Niflaim, amazing things that actually start to appear once you mention Shalosh Regalim. Because we spoke about the fact that Bilam wants to see with his eyes. What else do we know about Bilam's eyesight? Shesuma Ayin. What's Shesuma Ayin? So Rashi explains he sees only from one eye. He was the one-eyed, one-legged, as we'll see in a second. Literally, this is him. The one-eyed. He can only see with one eye. That's not just something that happens to be. Shesuma Ayin. He's like defined by, this is who he is. Shesuma Ayin. Not, he hasn't got two eyes. He looks with one eye. Okay. So that obviously is something very significant about somebody who sees this way. Interesting about a Novi, a Jewish Novi, of course, the one that knows how to see properly, is called a Chayza. A Chayza, right? A Novi Loshem to see. He sees correctly. But Bilam only sees with one eye. Okay. What about his legs? How's he doing in his legs? Let's do an overall checkup on Bilam, see how he's doing. So he's missing one eye, so he's not going to get through that one. And he's also Hoylech Shefi. Hoylech Shefi, which the Gemara tells us in Sota Daf Yud, it means that he was limp. He limped. He couldn't, he had to like drag his leg. He had a problem with his leg. I don't know if it was the right or the left, whatever it was. He has Hoylech Shefi. So he was, I mean, this is the guy that you're getting, but he's still Bilam, but the fact is, he was blind in one eye, but the good news is he could see in one eye. Anyway, always be positive. So he was blind in one eye, and he limped. He walked Hoylech Shefi. He couldn't walk properly. So he had problems with his eyes and problems with his feet. That's interesting, because let's go back now to the reference of, you're not going to beat the Jewish people that do what? That have, go up Shalosh Regalim. Now, We know that the word regel, regolim, is not just a pun. Oh look, regolim refers to legs because it actually is significant. A yom tov is called the regel because of the reason. We're ha'ilech beregel, that is aliyah l'regel, that is the mitzvah to go up. And if you think that the walking is something insignificant, on the contrary, that is the mitzvah. If you're not able to walk, the Gemara at the beginning of Chagiga, the Gemara tells us that if you're not able to walk, if you're not able to walk aliyah l'regel, then you're potter from the mitzvah of Re'iyah, which is the mitzvah to appear in the Beis HaMikdosh. Even though you could get a ride, you could get a lift, you could be helicoptered into the Beis HaMikdosh, Hashem is not interested. Hashem wants you to be able to walk. If you cannot walk, and that means, by the way, you've got to walk independently without holding onto anything from the Har HaBayis to the Azara. It's not such a long place, but if you cannot make that walk on your own, even without a stick, right, then you're part of a Aliyah L'Regel. Okay, that's the dip, that's the halacha. So Aliyah L'Regel is a very important aspect. It's not stun that we go up, it is part and parcel of the mitzvah, if not, l'chora, one of the main parts of the mitzvah, aliyah l'regel. So Bilam is actually not going to qualify for aliyah l'regel, I'd like to say. I mean, he's not Jewish anyway, but apart from that, he's ha'ilech shefi, he's limping, and there's another Gemara, mamash at the beginning, this is both on Daf Beis, Omad Aleph and Chagiga, where we're told there about in the Mishnah, that if you can't walk properly, you've got your pot from Aliyah L'Regel. It also brings there one opinion. It's the name of Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi. I always remember him because his name is Dahavoi, and you've got to have an oi. Then Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi, he says you've got to be able to see with both your eyes. In other words, you've got to have, to be qualified to Aliyah L'Regel, you have to be able to see with both your eyes. He brings the drasha, Yira Yiroe, like a Kodesh Baruch who sees you, Kavah Yochel, with his full eyesight. You have to have full eyesight. What does full eyesight mean? Both your eyes have to be functioning. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi. I think the Gemara seems to say, like, not like him, but he's certainly of that opinion. Rabbi Yochanan ben Davoi, he holds that Yiri Yeroya, you have to be able to see with your full eyesight to be able to go Aliyah L'Regel. So if you couldn't see with both your eyes and your legs aren't working properly, you're potter Aliyah L'Regel. Punct happened to be those two things that we've just mentioned are Bilam has a problem with those things. He can only see one eye, and he can't walk properly. And that's interesting, because he's going to, anyway, not be able to take on the Jewish people who are chayeg shalosh regolim. They keep the three regolim. So what is this inyan exactly? We see that there's a comparison, we can see that there's connections happening, but we need to be masbir what's happening here. So, where's Hashem Yisbarach? Now, so as we mentioned, the Mishnah said to be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu and not to be a Talmud of Bilam. And we explained it's a little bit of interesting comparison. They're not in the same dor. Why would we put the two together? Clearly they're opposites. That's the point. Be a Talmud of Avraham, don't be a Talmud of Bilam. Well, what do we know that Bilam came to do? He came to curse the Jewish people. He wasn't successful. He was mavarich. He gave us brachas instead. But he came to klala. What is the first instruction given to Avraham Avinu? Right? And there the instruction is Veheyei Brocha. You should be a Brocha. Now my Rabbi Rav Moshe Shapiro used to explain, and he was the one that explained this idea of Bilam versus Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu stands for a world that's Brocha Dik. What does it mean? He didn't just go around giving brochas, you know, Batzlocha. Veheyei Brocha wasn't just to go around giving people brochas. Veheyei Brocha, you should be a Brocha. How are you exactly a Brocha? The answer is, by Avraham Avinu showing the world that this is Hashem's world, and he's the one who's in charge. There wasn't a person that called the Kodesh Baruch Hu Odoin until Avraham Avinu came on the scene. When Avraham Avinu comes on the scene, he calls Hashem Odoin. What does it mean to have a master? It means there's a Ribbono Shel Olam. He's the master of this world. He's not some distant God that's created the world and now somewhere disappeared and something. No, he's very much involved. Odoin, he's the master of the world. He's involved at every stage. And what that means, therefore, is that allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give bracha into the world. Bracha can come to the world because we recognize the source of bracha, and this is how it comes into the world, and that's what we know. This is what we daven every day. Baruch Atah Hashem, Hashem, you are the source of all bracha. We recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, and by us recognizing Hashem as the God of the world, that brings the bracha to the world. That's exactly how it's done. Avraham Avinu went around explaining to people, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bairi Olam, not just the Bairi Olam, he's the Manig Olam, as the Medrash says in the beginning of Lech Lecha. Avraham Avinu looked around and he saw Bira Delekes, a world on fire, a palace on fire. And he said, Kulum Yesh Olam B'li Manig. Could there be an Olam without a Manig? A Manig is a driver, not a bayre. A bayre, they all understood there was a bayre ilam. Hashem created the world. A bayre means he once created. No, he's a manig. He's constantly creating, giving, and sustaining the world at chol rega v'rega, every moment. And that was Avraham Avinu's message to the world. And he's explaining to them this concept, teaching the world about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is called to be a bracha. You are bringing bracha to the world that allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to shower upon us bracha, because that's where the bracha comes from. Ki, that's the Makara bracha, and from there it comes into this world. Avraham Avinu recognized it. That's called bracha, ve'yei bracha. Ve'yei bracha, you will be a bracha. Whereas Bilam wants to disconnect this world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yodea das Elyon. It's an unbelievable thing. We can't really fathom it, but he knows HaKadosh Baruch Hu in an incredible way. He's getting nevuah from Shemayim. But he himself is living with his donkey. Now, this is like the Minakotza Lakotza. These are completely opposite worlds. How could it be? Your head is up there, and the way you act down here is totally different. Not just different, opposite, the antithesis of. Which is what Bilam lived. He lived a schizophrenic life. His head was able to be understand Yodea Das Elyon, his head in Shemayim, but the way he acted in this world was the opposite. So therefore that's called a complete disconnect from up here to down here, or from there to down here. Shemayim and Eretz, totally disconnected. That's called Klala. That is Klala. The ultimate Klala is to disconnect from the world of Shemayim, which is the source of all bracha. You're pulling out the plug. And that's why he was such an expert at, unfortunately, giving klolos. Because that's how he lived his life. He lived his life in two different worlds and completely did not connect them. So because the Mishnah is telling you, be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, bring bracha to the world, and don't be a Talmud of Bilam, who is the source of all klolos. That's what Ramesh Shapiro explained. Now, but point out that notice, Avraham Avinu's got Ayin Toiva and Bilam has Ayin Ra. Again, there's other two things as well, Ruach Nemucha and Nechash Shafala, but let's just focus on the Ayin. So, Avraham Avinu has Ayin Toiva. What does Ayin Toiva mean? To not just see the good in other people. That's a very low-level thing. Ayin Toiva is, yeah, I see the good. That's wonderful, and that's a very practical thing. But Ayin Toiva of Avraham Avinu was much beyond that. He could see a person, and in that person, he could see how that person has the ability, the potential, to be able to bring out Kvod Shamayim. He was the ultimate kiruv. I don't want to say the word professional because it's not appropriate. It's not a business. But he's the ultimate kiruv master. Why? How does a person do? Is makariv? How's one yid makariv another yid, or anybody? How makariv anybody? It's very, very simple. No, it's simple to say, harder to do. If you see in that person who he could become, his nitzitz of kvod shamayim. Look past the whatever it is on the outside, what he looks like at this point, at present. And if you could see the chelik and the shoma inside, that's what you speak to. And that's how to be makarev, a person. Avraham Avinu looked at every person that way. He looked at every person. Ayin toivo means not just, I'm sure he's a lovely guy. Ayin toivo means he saw the absolute toiv that is in every person. And the toiv means to be able to connect that person to who he really is in Shemayim. And that's what that's how he looked at the world, ayin toivo. An eye of toivo, which is to bring this person as another ability to bring HaKadosh Baruch Hu into the world. But Bilam is ayin ra. Ayin ra, once again, what does ayin hara mean? Just on a simple level. Ayin hara, we know. What if a guy looks in a bad way? Oh, why's that guy got everything? He's got all the money in the world, and I've got nothing. That's already, what does that mean? What's he trying to say? He's looking at him in a bad way. I wish you didn't have it. Now, maybe he means I wish I had it and not him, but the way you look at a person, you're disconnecting him from his Shoresh Neshama. You only see it the way it is in this world, and not connecting a person to Shemayim. That's the ultimate Ayin Ra, and that's Bilam. Now we get back to the Parsha. With a little bit of background, we can now approach the Parsha. With one last Hakdamah, and this is really the main point. There's two eyes that we see this world with. And this is my chiddush, but the truth is, it's l'chera poshut. And that is, you know, as we know, you can, the world, there's two ways to look at the world. The look at the world through a lens of Olam Hazeh, or you look at the world through a lens of Olam Haba. And it's not simply I look through Olam Haba, that filters how I look at Olam Hazeh. Let me just explain that. It says about Yaakov and Esau, they were arguing about two worlds. What's the argument between Yaakov and Esav? Yaakov says, I want Olam Haba. Esav says, I want Olam Hazeh. I can't hear an argument. Very nice. So Esav, you take Olam Hazeh. Yaakov take Olam Haba. And everybody's happy. Where's the argument? It's poshut. They're not arguing about Olam Haba. Yaakov doesn't want Olam Haba and nothing to do with this world. He wants an Olam Hazeh. They're arguing about this world. Just what's your definition of this world? Is Olam Hazeh for the sake of Olam Hazeh? That's Esav. Or is Olam Hazeh in order to be able to get to Olam Haba? And that's an argument about how to define this world. Yaakov and Esav are arguing about what's the definition of Olam Hazeh. Is Olam Hazeh for its sake? Or Olam Hazeh to lead to Olam Haba? Oh, that's a Meriva or Shter Elomos. In other words, they're arguing about what's the definition. But the way we know we're supposed to look at this world is with two eyes. There's the Olam Hazeh Dika eye, and there's the Olam Haba Dika eye. There's two eyes. And that's how you have to look at this world, with both eyes. Both eyes. Bilam is not interested in that. He's interested in disconnecting from the Olam HaElyon, from Olam Haba. He just wants this world. It's just about this world. Yodea Das Elyon, but not interested. He's living with his behemoth. What does he do? He sees the world through only one eye. A Yid, anybody is supposed to see the world through two eyes. Olam Hazeh with the focus of Olam Haba. That's how you look at this world. With two eyes. But Bilam only sees with one eye. Umemela, look at this. Vayishlach Malach Mel Bilam Ben Ba'ar. Interesting, his name is Bilam ben Ba'ar. Ba'ar, Remez L'dava, Be'iver, Ayin Vavresh. He's Bilam ben Ba'ar. He's got blindness in his genes, if you want to call it, right? He's ben Ba'ar. He's got this blindness. And what do they say about the people? Hine am yotzem Mitzrayim. This Klali, so we've left Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim, you know, was the place of Olam Hazeh, Mitzrayim, only focused on this world. Hine chiso es ein ha'aretz. But you know this people, they cover the Ein Ha'aretz. The way you look at the world of just Olam Hazeh, Aretz, the Jewish people cover that. They're trying to say that the world's above that. So now we're in trouble. You belong, you've got the Ein Ra, so use your eyesight to curse the Jewish people. That's what he's being used for. And therefore he's trying each time to only give a curse. He has to see from this angle, see from that angle. It's all about Re'iyah. But of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu prevents him, and he's not going to do anything. But let's look at what does the donkey say to him, right? The donkey says, the donkey can see, because obviously he can see the malach, the donkey can see with two eyes what Bilam can't see. And what does the donkey say? Me'a sisi l'cha ki kisani zeh sholosh regalim. You've hit me three times. Now we said that two important aspects of sholosh regalim, the regal, is you've got to be able to walk up and you've got to be able to see with both your eyes. Let's explain. The walking up is a famous Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Reb Shlomo Zalman has a beautiful idea. He says, Mayofu pa'amoyach bana olim. How beautiful are your footsteps in your shoes. Clearly so when we go up a little regal. How beautiful are the footsteps. Why does it say how beautiful are the footsteps when they are in their shoes? Because when you get to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to take your shoes off. Shoes off. No shoes, no socks. That's it. That's how you go into the Beis HaMikdash. So Mayafu Bahamayach Ban Olim, how beautiful are your footsteps on the way up. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the effort of a person. Mi Yale Bahar Hashem. He wants Odom is a Hoylich. He wants the effort of a person to go up a little regel. To punk the rive in the Beis HaMikdash by helicopter. That's missing the whole point. You've got to show that you want to make an effort to climb the mountain of Hashem. You have to show that regel. Mayafu Bahamayach Ban Olim, that Klal Yisrael want to be a Hoylich. We want to go from one leg to the next. We want to make that climb. Bilah, and that means we're Oile, we've got our Har Hashem, Miyala Bar Hashem, the one who's going to walk upwards. Bilam's not interested in that. He's Holich Shefi. He doesn't want to walk anywhere. There's no Halicha. He wants to be here in this world. This is where I am. My father-in-law, Rabbi Tatz, always mentions that Oretz is Meloshon Ritza, to run. And Shomayim means Shom, destination. We are running towards, as we say, always in the Hadron. Onirotzim lehemrotzim. We're running towards onirotzim chayim abba, hemrotzim levei hashachas. That means we're running. Everybody runs, but if you're running with a destination, that's olam abba. Wonderful. Hemrotzim levei hashachas. Interesting, by the way. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. The lashon of the Mishnah is if you're a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, then you're ba'olam. Listen, it's mamash beautiful. It's Talmud of Avraham Avinu. You're eating in this world. V'noichlam olam abba. What exactly is it telling you? It's telling you you get both worlds. You get both worlds. A Yid that lives correctly, if you're Talmud of Avraham Avinu, you look with both your eyes, then you're going to be living in this world, Olam Hazeh, with the focus of Olam Haba. You get both. You get Oichlem Olam Hazeh, but Noichlem Olam Haba. Lanchol Vayesh, that's to be a Talmud of Avraham Avinu, to look with both your eyes. But to be a Talmud of Bilam HaRasha, Yoshim Gehenim. This exact possible. I told Kim, tell you the Mivashach has Anji Domino Molechimbach. That we say that they're not going anywhere. So Bilam can't walk because he's not Eile Regel. And you're never gonna beat Klal Yisrael or Eile Regel. Why are you never gonna beat Klal Yisrael or Eile Regel? Because Klal Yisrael show the effort they want to go from step to step to get to Har Hashem. To get to where? Yuri Yeroya, the Mokam HaMikdosh. What's Yuri Yeroya? Bahar Hashem Yeroya, the place where you see Hashem with both your eyes. What does it mean? Why is that so important? Because the place where Shemayim V'Oretz come together, literally where Shemayim and Oretz is found together, Olam Haba and Olam Hazeh, Shemayim and Oretz, is in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's the place of both eyes. Mamash both eyes together. And therefore, in the Beis HaMikdosh, you have to be able to see with both your eyes. According to Rabbi Yochanan Davoi. And you're never going to beat Klal Yisrael. They're able to walk up, they want to make the effort, and they can see with both their eyes. As opposed to you, Bilam, that's Ayin Ra, single-eyed, one eye, Shasuma Ayin, only one eye, not interested in the other vision of where we're going. But we're interested in Yuri Yeroya. We're interested in Yuri Yeroya. And this is the Ayin Ra of Bilam. It's fascinating to note that the Navi tells us in the future, when we're going to return to Eretz Yisrael, when we're going to get back to the ultimate double vision, the correct vision, the lashon the Navi uses is ki ayin ba'ayin yiru b'shuv Hashem tzion, ki ayin ba'ayin yiru. One eye and the other eye together. That's how you're going to see b'shuv Hashem tzion. We're going to see the return to the place of the Beis Hamikdash. Tzion. Tzion is the place of the Beis Hamikdash. Tzion is gematria Yosef. Yosef is the one that teaches us not to be fooled by Olam Hazeh. You might have all the looks, not to be fooled by Olam Hazeh. Look at Olam Hazeh like a Beis HaMikdosh. The Beis HaMikdosh was a beautiful place, stunning place. But you didn't come out of the Beis HaMikdosh and say, wow, did you see the architecture? It was amazing. If you did, you missed the whole point of the Beis HaMikdosh. You went into the Beis HaMikdosh, you saw a beautiful place, beautiful, stunning, but you saw really the Shekhinah. You said, absolutely, it's a beautiful place, befitting the Shekhinah that you felt there. It was Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru. B'shov Hashem Tzion, and Tzion is Gematria Yosef, because that's the place where you can see Olam Hazeh and Olam Haba coming together. Shemayim and Oretz, in that Mokum together, they come together. Shemayim V'Ara Noshke Adodi is the Lashon of Chazal. They come together, huh?
Yosef is Olam
Hazeh. Oh, that's exactly the point. You see, everybody knows already. Ah, we got the Tzadikim here that know. And Yosef, it says about Yosef, he's Olam Ayin. He's Olam Ayin. He's in, nobody, the Ayin Hora can't be Shoilet on Yosef. Ein Ayin Shoilet, Ayin Hora is not Shoilet on Yosef. Why? Because he's Oyla Ayin. How can it be he's Oyla Ayin? Because the Ayin Hora says, I want to look at you for only Olam Hazeh. I want to disconnect you from Olam Haba. I want to disconnect you from Shemayim. But Yosef has already overcome that. He's living Olam Hazeh with Shemayim. So he's therefore protected from the Ayin Hora. No Ayin Hora. Zara de Yosef even. If you're a descendant of Yosef, you can't be affected. The Gemara says about the story of Yochanan and sat outside the mikveh and they used to look at him and they said, aren't you afraid of Ayin Hora because he was beautiful? He says, no. And he Zara de Yosef or not. There's no Ayin Hora on Yosef and his descendants because they've already learned to live in Olam Hazeh, a Shemayim Dikr existence with both their eyes. So your eye of just one eye of Olam Hazeh, it's not going to make an impact. That's the beauty of Ki Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion. So we see that this week's parasha, which is all about Re'iyah, Vayar Bolog Ben Tzipor. It's all about the correct Re'iyah. And of course, Bilam wants to bring us down with his one eye, one legged approach. But we have both our legs going up to Yerushalayim, Yiru Yiro, with both our eyes. We should be Zoicha to Ayin Ba'ayin Yiru B'Shuv Hashem Tzion. I get the best.